Good afternoon, everyone. Beautiful Sabbath day. It's really a privilege to be able to speak to you. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, the scripture we usually read this time of year, especially as we're preparing for the Passover, examine yourselves as to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ is in you? This is the scripture we keep going over. It's a well-worn scripture, but it's a very important scripture, one that we shouldn't have in our minds, on our minds just prior to Passover, but all year long. But as we near Passover, self-examination ought to be more evident in our lives, a time to reflect. 2 Corinthians 13:5 is one of those many scriptures we use to reflect on our personal growth and in, the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But how can we know that we are not deceiving ourselves, thinking we are growing in the faith, but maybe we're not? We have that doubt. How do we know? How can we tell that we are actually growing in the faith and that Christ is actually in us? I mean, after all, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Is that not so when we read that we read in Jeremiah? And that Satan is the great dragon who deceives the world, as we read over in Revelation. And that Satan is the god of this age who has blinded those who do not believe. So how can we know that we are not deceiving ourselves? Isn't it easy to doubt ourselves, to fall into a pit of discouragement, to feel like a woe is me? How can we know the truth that Christ is in us? So first of all, where do we find the truth? What is truth? The great question, what is truth? In John 5:39, Christ says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." In John 8:32, he says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," or make you free. In John 16:13, he says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." And of course, in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So we can go to the Word of God. We don't have to worry about the philosophy, the philosophical question that the world asks science and asks mathematics and asks the world philosophers, what is truth? We know what the truth is. It's right here before us. It's in our laps. It's right here before us. So we can go to the Word and to learn and to know the truth. And the truth is that Christ is in us, the foundation being laid. You shall know the truth. In this message, I want to share with you four test points found in the Word, to help us when examining ourselves, that we can know that Jesus Christ is in us. No doubts, no worries. Okay, I didn't get my prayer life in this last week, or I didn't get my Bible study done, so consequently I'm on the downhill slide, and we're coming towards Passover. What do I do? What penance can I pay? No, it's not that. Christ wants you to know that he is in you and that no matter what your situation is, he is there with you and he is there in you. Point number one, please turn with me over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Point number one, believe. Point number one, believe. Christ is the bread that endures to everlasting life. If you will, in John chapter 6, verse 24, listen to the words that Christ says. These are words that we can take to the bank, to our heart bank. These are the words that we can hang our hat on. These are the words that we can live by. These are the words that we can stand by. "Most assuredly," Jesus says, "I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves that were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because God, the Father, has set his seal on him," on Jesus Christ. Point number one is, believe Christ is that bread that endures to everlasting life. Christ says, that's the bread you want, not the bread that perishes, but the bread that you have to work for. And what is our work? In verse 29, he says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him in whom he sent." Point number one is Christ is the bread that endures to everlasting life. Our part is to labor for in that work and to believe. Now, you know, the word believe is kind of an ambiguous word, isn't it? Because these people that ate the bread, these people who were the 5,000 who were fed by the loaves just the day before, saw this great miracle out of two loaves and five loaves and two fishes, and 5,000 men and their ladies and their children were fed. So they saw that miracle, and that was something important. And they said they believe. They said in verse 30, if you will, listen to the type of belief that they had. Therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe?" That believe means to persuade or be persuaded. The point here that Christ is making, do we believe? Are we not just persuaded, but are we convicted? Point number two, believe. Believe. Point number two, Christ is the bread of life. We will never hunger or thirst. We will never be cast out. Here again, he makes this point when we go to, if you will, read verse 40 real quick. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life." In verse 41, they claimed that they were upset. The Jews were upset because he claimed that he was the bread of life. Now going back to verse 32, listen to what Jesus says. He's saying this to us too today. Listen to the words. "Most assuredly," this is the truth, "most assuredly I say to you," and then he goes down to verse 35 in his speech, and he says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Point number three, believe Christ is the living bread which came down from heaven. Believe that Christ is the living bread which came down from heaven. If we eat of this bread, we will live forever. We will live forever. Verse 47 of that same chapter. "Most assuredly," Jesus says to us, "I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life." And then in verse 51, he says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." Believe. Point number four. Believe Christ is the true food and the true drink. Believe that Christ is the true food and the true drink. In verse 53, Jesus says to them, here it is again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you shall eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And he's not talking about eating flesh and drinking blood, but then again, he is, isn't he? This phrase is a synecdoche. It's called a synecdoche. A synecdoche is a term used to explain another term. In other words, we could say, let's see if I can find it here real quick. We could say that when we're speaking of high society, we might refer to society. Or if we're thinking about 50 sailing ships, we might say 50 ships or 50 sailing. Or if we're thinking of cattle, we might say, instead of 50 cattle, we might say 50 head. Talking about cattle. So this term, "eat my flesh and drink my blood," is a synecdoche. And it means, it has a meaning, but it's a part that's referring to the whole. "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." What Christ is saying, you must believe. Read now verse 56. "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." This is what he's trying to say, that we imbibe him, that we take him in, that we drink in and we keep it, we retain it. We believe. Christ was speaking to the people, including the Jewish leaders, on the day following the feeding of the 5,000. His point, his four test points, as a matter of fact, were these, and throughout the whole chapter, chapter 6, verses 1 through 71, this was the point that he was making, that we believe and labor for the truth, for the true food that endures to everlasting life, that we believe he is the bread of life, the true manna that came down from heaven. That we believe in him, we shall never hunger and never thirst or be cast out when we come to him. We must imbibe of him that we might have life. We must imbibe of him that we might have life. When examining ourselves, whether we are in the faith, if we truly believe, let us take the test to know assuredly that Christ is in us.